Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, December 28th, 2015. And with me today, I have a full house. First up, Dave Hamilton. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
It's awesome to have you here. Brian Chaffin, I hope you're doing well.
Doing well, but it takes five people to have a full house, just saying.
And this, Brian, is why I love you. And also from the MacCast, Adam Christensen, it is great to have you here.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have all of you here. And I'm doing the math, and yes, there are only four of us. So we have, Brian, what would that be?
Four of a kind.
Today we have a four of a kind on the show.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
All right. Thanks for sorting that out for me. Okay. Now, the reason I wanted to get all of us together is because you guys are really sharp and have really great ideas. And those ideas, I think, will translate really well to helping out our listeners. And what I want to do is offer up our listeners some app ideas and maybe some tips that they can put into their arsenal because they have new family members and friends. No, they have family members and friends that are now new to the Apple platform. And if we can help out our listeners a little bit, I think that's just a really nice way to spread around a little bit more of the holiday cheer.
I'm in.
I'm in. And So I will start us off with the really easy suggestion, which is remind your family members and friends that Apple offers in-store trainings and support. So visiting your local Apple store is a great way to get some help without always burdening family members.
That's really a good one.
Advice. Yeah. I was thinking along the same lines of some people may know or may not know who are switchers that, you know, Apple provides great software and tools built in when you fire up the new Mac to kind of guide you through that process. They also have the new app for Android switchers as well, right, for moving their data.
Right.
But if that feels too cumbersome, you know, you can, again, direct them to the Apple Store Genius Bar and they will assist with, you know, you can even, I think people can even bring their PC down there. And they will hook it up on the bar and transfer all their stuff for them or help them do that process.
Yes. Yes, they will. And, okay. So to go along with that, remind your friends and family members that they should install the Apple Store app, which is different from the App Store app. And once they've got that installed, they can set up Genius Bar appointments right from their iPhone, iPad, or iPod Touch.
Good stuff.
Yeah, another thing I thought that goes along with this as well, and what's cool is we wrote up a recent piece on Mac Observer about this, is a lot of people don't know, and there's all those people out there that learn by book learning or reading. And yes, big manuals don't ship with your stuff anymore, but Apple still produces those things as ebooks. So they have all kinds of manuals on the iBookstore. And you can find them. I think we have a link in the piece. It was written up by, I think, Peter Cohen recently back in November. So people can search Mac Observer for that, or they can just look in iBooks for Apple. I think if you do a search on Apple, you can find Apple's published books. And they have things on iPad, iPhone, Macs, Apple Watch, you know, all the way through programming if you're going to go that deep. But Lots of good stuff in there.
Now, I'll make sure we have a link to that in today's show notes, too.
Cool.
Save people a search.
Hey, I got a couple of Mac apps that I wanted to share, Mr. Gamet.
Okay.
One is new, or a new version of it, and it's one of the apps that I can't live without, and as soon as I upgraded to El Capitan, I was reminded of that because it was not really available for El Capitan immediately, and that is Default Folder. The beta version of 5 is out now, and you can use it. Default Folder is something that enhances open and save dialog. So when you're opening stuff or saving things, it allows you to navigate very quickly to not only predefined favorites, which of course you can do in the sidebar, but also recent locations and open Finder windows. So if you have a Finder window open, you can either choose it from a menu, or even better, you can just, when the file open or save dialog is up, You just click on the Finder window that you see, and the dialogue is navigated to that window. So it's just something that it's such an enhancement that it feels like part of the OS. And the good news is I believe it's just John Gotow at St. Clair Software, but he and his team figured out how to get all this done inside of the security parameters that El Capitan brings with it. So default folder 5 is a welcome treat for old and new users alike, because it's back now for El Capitan.
So now, Dave, am I remembering correctly that default folder will let you create new directories and move files around in your open and save dialogues?
Yeah, that too. Yep, rename things. That's right. Yeah, it does so many things. Right. Yep.
Yeah, and see, those features right there are great for Windows users that are switching over to the Mac, because they're already used to being able to do that.
Very good point. Very good point. The other app is, you know, with people taking a lot of pictures and stuff, the Flickr uploader for the Mac is fantastic, because it allows you to save, they say, a terabyte of photos. My guess is there's actually no limit, but really, who cares? A terabyte's a lot of photos.
That's a lot of photos.
Yep, and it backs them all up to Flickr. You can also install the app on your iOS devices, and it's smart because it will sift through and not upload duplicates. So if you're syncing your photos from your iPhone to your Mac, that's fine. The Flickr uploader will only put up one copy of each photo, regardless of how many places you have that same photo that are syncing. So free photo backup. And indexing. It does all that crazy indexing where you can say, I want all the pictures of vehicles, and it'll show you bicycles and airplanes and cars, and it's
right,
quite...
It figures it out.
Yeah.
So you don't have to tag and say, this is a car.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Those are both extremely useful and helpful suggestions. I have something for the other end of the spectrum.
Awesome.
Especially if you're, say, 9 years old or younger or male. And that would, of course, be – it doesn't have to be the one that I have, but any one of the mini apps to let you do that with your iPhone.
And what was that sound?
I don't know if you heard that.
You're whipping your phone.
Yeah, you got to have some kind of app that lets you make a whipping motion and then a crack whip sound.
So now, which app are you using?
The one I'm using is just simply called Whip. It's the first one, I think, that was doing that. Now there's about a jillion of them.
I have to be honest. This is actually the first I've heard of this type of app.
Okay, well, so now imagine making a whipping sound, Dave, and then hearing that, and then just think about how powerful you'd feel.
No, I'm downloading it now. I'm not saying I'm not interested. I'm saying that this is the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, I remember there was a really great lightsaber app for a while. This is years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And then Lucasfilm, because at the time Star Wars belonged to Lucasfilm, they cracked down on those apps and they went away. But
well, wait a minute, though. The one...
They have their own, yeah.
Oh, they have their own. Oh, so is it in the Disney Star Wars app?
That may be part of that app. I still have the original one, so... You're asking the wrong person, because I
saw the original one too, because it's
very, very
still
original
worked.
Lightsaber app. Yeah. Official Lucasfilm one. And it was just like a lightsaber app. You had different characters you could select, and it's not currently installed on my phone, but I still have a copy of it.
It didn't survive one of my one of my reinstalls.
Ah.
Uh-huh. Oh, what a bummer.
Well, I'll find the link for whatever official lightsaber app there is and put it in the show.
Yeah,
notes.
It may be part of the Star Wars app now. But yeah, I mean, this is in the same vein, right? There's for whatever kind of thing that you're into, whether it whips or lightsabers or some other random sound, that you can probably find a soundboard app or a sound app, music apps, you know, same thing. There's all kinds of drum kit apps and guitar apps and ukulele apps and
keyboard apps.
Yeah, I find it really handy to have a keyboard app on my phone, just to kind of sort things out every now and then. It's like, oh, how would that work? And I just whip it out and play it a little bit. And it's like, oh yeah, okay, good. You know, so good for the ADD musicians.
A lot of music creation stuff for the iPad in particular.
Yeah,
it is a good device for creating music in a lot of different ways.
Yes. Now, not being an actual musician, I like the Smule ones a lot. So Magic Piano.
Those are fun apps.
They have the one that's like a violin, might be called Magic Violin. But anything from Smule, I found I enjoyed. They had the pad one too that was almost like a sampler drum pad sort of thing. And they tend to be very well done. So.
Yep. And if you have a kid that's, well, I'll say like toddler up to 5 or 6-ish, and you want to keep them really entertained musically, put Bloom on your iPhone. And if you think of it sort of as like a new age music creation tool, you'll have an idea of what it is. And it just fills up the screen with an area you can tap, and where you tap on the screen will give you like different tones, different pitches, and then it just kind of blooms out with this circle, so you have these nice graphics to go with it. And I have found, especially with toddlers, that's the thing right there. They go crazy just to get to sit and get mesmerized by tapping the screen and listening to music happen.
That's awesome.
Oh, well, yeah. since you brought up that age group, another recommendation, just general, of a whole suite of apps to check out would be anything from the folks at Toca Boca. I don't know if you're familiar with this developer. So they have a gazillion apps, and they're all sort of targeted at younger kids. One of the favorites in my house was Toca Hair Salon. So you're given all kinds of tools and things to and characters, and you can grow their hair and then cut their hair and style the hair and all that kind of stuff. And it sounds silly, but it's incredibly fun. And kids can snap pictures. So then they have all kinds of things that are like in this genre. So they have Toca Nature, they have Toca Lab, which is like a science thing. More recently, I think one of their popular ones is something called Toca Blocks that is sort of in the vein of Minecraft, where kids can build worlds and create things with simple blocks. But all of their apps are very well done and put together. So you can almost not go wrong by picking whichever one you think your kids might be interested in. There's monster ones and train ones.
Toca does a good job. My kids discovered that when they were of that age where they were interested in it. That and the Peppy Play apps too.
I'm not familiar with those.
A little bit lighter than those, but still kind of fun. They had one called Peppy Bath where, you know, the kids learned to wash their hands and brush their teeth and all that stuff. And I saved a copy of it on my iPad and waited. My kids are now 14 and 16, so they were 13 and 15.
When I
did this. No, they liked it when they were younger, but last year we were on a flight somewhere, and whenever we fly, the four of us, I typically get 3 seats and 1 seat, and it doesn't matter so much now, but when the kids were younger, Lisa was kind of primary with the kids. So on the airplane, I'd give her the 1 seat alone so she could just enjoy a flight, be kind of by herself, and I would sit
You're
in between
really
the two kids.
Awesome.
Yeah. And it was nice because it gave me time with the kids, you know. And so we still do that, even though everybody would be fine on a plane all by themselves at this age. But so I was sitting between the kids, and I waited until we were about an hour and a half into the flight, and I just launched Peppy Bath on my iPad without saying anything to either of the kids, and just started playing with it. It didn't take them very long to notice what was going on. Like, what the heck?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So these games have, you know, they have. Residual value.
Clearly.
That's what I'd like to say. Hey,
that's awesome.
While we're talking about families, I was turned on to something accidentally last night. I'm an Amazon Prime member, have been for a long time. And, when you're a Prime member, you can have, I think, up to 5 people total that share your Prime shipping benefits. And it's built for families. My son was telling me last night that his account wasn't on our Amazon Prime. So I went in, and sure enough, I needed to resend him his invite or something. And while I was in there, I learned about something new, or I think it's new. It's new to me, called Amazon Household, which is an extension of Prime. It lets you share all your digital content using what Amazon calls the family library. So you can share ebooks, audiobooks, apps, and games through Kindle devices and devices like iOS devices that run the Kindle app. So no longer do you have to have everybody logging into the same Amazon account and sharing the same bookmarks with your Kindle app and all of that. It works really, really well. And you can share Prime Video streaming now between people, which prior to the Amazon household thing, you could not do. And it's free. So
wow.
This is a good thing. Yeah. Well, it's free. You've paid your hundred bucks. Correct. That's right.
That's cool. I did not know about that.
I have yet to even look up like when they announced it just to see how did I miss it. But there you go. So Amazon household.
All right. I have another thing to toss out, and just for disclosure, they have been a sponsor of Daily Observations in the past. But that's not why I'm picking this, and it's Bushel. And what I like about it is that it lets you remotely manage all of the devices that everyone in your family has. So that the Macs and your iOS devices, and that way you can make sure that your family members have their software updates. And the killer thing for me has been that you can push out email account settings. And for some reason, my dad has this problem where he will destroy his email account settings on a regular basis. So he'll call me and he'll say, the email on my Mac doesn't work. I don't understand why I bought this iMac because nothing ever works. And then I repush his email settings back out to him. And he's like, hey, it works again. Yeah. And it's great because I don't live close enough that I can just run over and fix his iMac.
Right.
I have to drive 45 minutes, which isn't a big time investment, but it ends up consuming a day. And now I can just get him set up and that's it. So, you can do, it's a couple devices, like I think three devices, and it's just free forever. And then it's only a couple dollars for every device you had after that. But it sure is an easy way to help cut down on the weird tech support questions you get.
Yeah. Another thing I was thinking about that would be a good recommendation to tell friends and family who are new to the Mac and Apple platforms is, you know, remind them that they should use backup and help them understand how easy Apple has made it for them. And, you know, doing things like recommending just turning on Time Machine, getting an external USB hard drive and turning on Time Machine and signing up for an iCloud account. And even if they don't want to use iCloud for any other service, just turn on the iCloud backup on their iOS devices. Because they get that, you know, for free out of the box. Now, they may eventually need more storage, but at the very least, when they're brand new to the platform, you can get them in that habit of backing their stuff up.
That's awesome. I love that suggestion. Yeah. Hey, we're about out of time, so I'm ready to wrap us up. But Dave, Brian, Adam, if you have any other suggestions you want to toss out, now is the time.
I have one more thing.
Okay.
If you just got an Apple Watch, one of the best parts about it is how easy the bands come off, and it really lends itself to being a device and also, you know, a toy or a fashion statement that or a fashion item that you can change. The problem is watch bands from Apple are going to cost you anywhere between 150 and about $500.
Mm-hmm.
Those very same watch bands, albeit without an Apple box, can be purchased either from Amazon or AliExpress for, you know, between about $20 and $50. I have and you can get them in colors that Apple doesn't sell. I have a black Milanese Loop watch band that I got for about $20 from AliExpress, and it's awesome. My son just ordered a gunmetal link bracelet. Now Apple charges $450 for link bracelets. He paid $21 on Amazon Prime.
Wow.
For this. Yeah. And I bought a bunch of them from AliExpress for family members for Christmas, And, you know, it's the kind of thing where for $20, you can get, you know, two or three of these things and interchange them and you don't really worry about it. And the quality on them has all been fantastic, although your mileage may vary. But it's been really good. So throw it out there.
That's awesome. What a great idea.
Yep.
Okay.
I have a quick oldie but a goodie.
Yes.
The Elements by Theodore Gray on an iPad, I think, is
yes.
a wonderful way. It's not only this amazing science app, it's the periodic table. With lots of information, very, very interactive.
And it's one beautiful. Of
the first great iPad apps, I thought. And it is, you know, it still just remains just amazing and gorgeous. It's $13.99. Well worth it if you have any interest in the periodic table or if you're trying to get a young person interested. It's just a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous app.
Have you tried the supplemental new one, Elements in Action?
No, is that also by Theodore Gray?
Yeah, yeah. It's their latest, it's their new edition, and it's the same idea. You've got all the elements, but this time they've done videos demonstrating, you know, reactions and how the elements are actually working, things like that. So, but it's in the same vein. Yeah,
very cool. So
if you already have elements, this is another nice companion app.
And that one's only $3.99.
Cool. Cool. Awesome. All right. Well, we are out of time. So, Adam, thank you for being here today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Always fun to come on.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And Dave, thank you for being here.
Oh, it was my pleasure. You know, and if we weren't running out of time, Brian's mention of the elements might have treated you all to my recitation of Tom Lehrer's The Elements. But we'll just have to move on from that.
Well,
but you can hear it with the app.
You could. There's Dave. Antimony, arsenic, aluminum, selenium. You know, I mean, that's where it starts.
That's it where it starts. All right, Dave. So so you'll have to come on at some point and do the song for us. And now people have a little something to look forward to.
There you go.
Brian, thank you for being here also.
You could also have a flush draw or a straight draw.
Oh, great. Okay.
Just not a full house.
Just not a full house. All right. Well, the next time there are five of us on, then I'll have my full house.
Excellent.
All right. And listeners, thank you for joining us. And if you have any suggestions on apps or services or anything else to help out the new convert to Apple platforms, let me know. You can do that observations@macobserver.com, @TMODaily on Twitter, and then, of course, in the show notes for today's episode. So welcome back, everyone, from the holiday weekend. It's great to have you all back. Listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.